Hello, and thank you for joining us for the 7th episode of The Mesh Up. I am your host, Tiffany Cook, and I'm super excited about our topic for today. But first, spoiler alert, I've got some insider information on our podcast that I will share with everyone at the end. So stay tuned and listen, because I really want to share this important information with you, but I want to save it till the end. So let's talk drones. Chances are you've seen aerial photography or video footage, maybe even received a delivery. So you know that drones serve a multitude of purposes in addition to military or agriculture. But what you probably haven't thought about is how drones are taking flight in CFD research. So for today's episode, I'm joined by two scientists from Argonne National Laboratory, Roberto Torelli and Ehan Liu, and we'll discuss how drone design is intersecting the CFD world. So Roberto, Ehan, welcome to the Mesh Up. And I'd like to start by allowing each of you the opportunity to briefly introduce yourselves so the listeners know a little bit more about your division and your roles at Argonne. Roberto, I'll start with you.
Thank you, Tiffany. And especially thank you very much for having us. It's a nice, great opportunity. I'm a fan of the podcast, actually. I've been listening to all of the episodes, and it's an honor to be on one of them. Just to talk about myself, I am a research scientist at Argonne National Lab. My education is completely done in Italy, where I did my bachelor, master's, and PhD. I was born and raised there, and then at some point decided to move to the US. And I moved to the US because I started doing an internship at Argonne National Lab during my PhD, which led me to meet my current manager and the team with whom I work. And eventually decided, because my manager liked me, to go for a new adventure and start as a postdoc at Argonne. My main background is mostly in automotive research. So I come from a slightly different world when we think about drones, but being a researcher, that means that we are, you know, exposed to so many different kind of applications, and you know, the opportunities come from one day to another, and sometimes we just start working on something different, like drones. And I'll be happy to say more about that later, but in the meantime, this is me in a nutshell.
Thank you, Roberto. Ehan, would you like to give us a brief introduction of yourself and your background?
Yeah, thanks, Tiffany. Thanks for having me in the show. I'm a postdoc at Argonne National Lab. And to talk a little bit about my background, I did my bachelor and master degree in Taiwan. And then I came here at the US for my PhD study at Lehigh University. My PhD work mainly focused on hydrodynamics, working on modeling energy harvesting devices and turbines. So that is how I stepped into the world of fluid dynamics. After graduation, I joined Argonne as a postdoc because of my experience in modeling external flows. And my first job here is this drone project we are going to talk about. So to characterizing the aerodynamics of unmanned aerial systems, and until now, we have been working on this for about 2 years.
Okay, that's exciting. So I'm going to just jump right in. Well, before we jump into the CFD aspect, I'd like for you, Roberto, to tell us a little bit about the drone industry and how drone modeling became a focus in your research.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that question, Tiffany. I have to say, I learned about the drone industry because of this project that we've had at Argonne in the last couple of years. And in the several activities that we needed to carry out, there was some market research, understanding a little bit why we want to do what we're doing. And of course, also why the lab was interested in these particular aspects. Indeed, from our side, I can tell you that this project in which I was involved started when I was a postdoc at Argonne. And my supervisor, working with other people at Argonne, came up with a proposal for some internal funding at Argonne. And that proposal was awarded because of the ideas behind building a mission-driven center for UAV or drone design. And what I learned is that the market of UAV is expected to explode in the next 5 to 10 years. Some predictions show that right now we have a market that is about $4.5 billion on a global perspective. That market is going to grow, is predicted to grow up to 60-65 billion by 2025. That is a compound annual growth rate of about 55-56%. And when we look at a little bit at how the market is distributed globally, we see that the main big players are and will be the US and Asia, mostly China. And when we also look at how the current market share in the US is characterized, we see that there's about 80% of the drones that are already being sold on the market. That market share of Asia accounts for about 80% of the products, while US is about 8%. So we're talking about an order of magnitude difference between the two geographical areas. Drones can be used for many applications. We can think of delivery, as you mentioned in the intro. We can think of law enforcement for monitoring and surveying, or for agricultural fertilization. All of these applications will grow, are expected to grow, just because not only the hardware, but also the software is improving month by month in this field. And it's an exciting, definitely an exciting field on which we can start playing and make sure that, at least from our perspective as Argonne National Lab, being a DOE-operated, and DOE means Department of Energy, of course, operated lab, we want to ensure security, energy security, from the perspective of the American taxpayers, and also from the perspective of the country as a whole. So definitely an exciting realm of opportunities there.
Yeah, it definitely sounds exciting. We, as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's cool to see aerial photography and aerial video footage of, you know, events, or even just pictures of certain neighborhoods. So to know that Argonne is involved in developing and improving this piece of technology so that we can use it worldwide, I think that that's really exciting. So let's talk about CFD. Can you tell us how, and I'll start with you, Roberto, but I'd love to get Ehan's take on this as well. How is CFD beneficial when designing drones?
So you can think of a drone as a very complex machine, right? There's different parts that come into play. One of them is definitely the aerodynamics of the drone itself, and how the drone will interact with the surrounding environment, and how it will behave not only in terms of dynamic behavior, but also in terms of energy consumption, for example, or in terms of the ability to perform and complete a mission according to some specific requirements. So from a wider perspective, CFD definitely can play a role in helping designers into evaluating designs of drones that could be either fixed wing drones or propeller based, and come up with possible solutions that can improve the drone behavior. And of course, help the designers also optimize those designs by exploring a range of parameters, for example, the shape of the propeller or the shape of the frame on which the propeller is mounted, and looking at how the drone eventually will behave according at least to the predictions of CFD. And that is pretty much from a wider point of view, how CFD can come into play.
Okay, thank you. Ehan, would you like to add from your perspective how CFD benefits drone design?
Yeah, absolutely. So for example, in the past, the scientists have to do the experiment to study at different flight conditions how the drone behave and interact with the surrounding environment. But with the help of CFD, we are able to reduce the experimental cost. So we are able to use CFD to predict the different flight conditions and then provide those coefficients to the dynamic control system team for them to design the flight dynamic control system.
Okay, interesting. And I'll stick with you because I want to get a little bit more insight on kind of which drones you guys have been studying and why you studied specific models over others. Can you elaborate on that, Ehan?
Sure, no problem. We have studied two types of drones. One is a fixed-wing UAV, and the other one is a propeller-based quadcopter. The fixed-wing UAV is called the Pioneer. It was operated by Army and Navy units during a war around 1990s. The actual wingspan size of it is around 5.5 meter, and we characterize its drag, lift, and moment at different flight conditions. For example, at different pitching angles, when the aircraft is climbing up or decreasing its altitude. And the reason why we're simulating this fixed-wing UAV is because there are available wind tunnel data that published in the literature. So we are able to validate our numerical model by comparing these aerodynamic coefficients with the experimental results. And the other propeller-based drone, we choose a quadcopter, which is manufactured by a company called DJI. This type of quadcopter is very common in the community. Usually people use it to take pictures or recording videos. It's not big. The diagonal size is about 35 centimeters, and it has four propellers. For this drone, we basically focus on modeling the thrust of a propeller because that determines how much force it can lift the entire drone. At the beginning, we start from studying a single propeller rotating at various speeds to understand how much thrust it can generate at different rotational speeds, and also predict the wake flow fields downstream. After that, we proceed to simulate a full drone, and the helix vortex structure originated from the propellers, and the wake interaction with the body of the drone is very complicated. And for the reason why we're using this, it's similar to the fixed-wing UAV case. We were able to compare our simulation results with the wind tunnel data that is published by NASA Ames Research Center. And we created the propeller geometry provided from this literature to make sure that we are using the exact correct propeller. So for these two type of UAV, all the aerodynamic coefficients predicted in our simulations match pretty well with the experimental data, so that we are confident that our numerical approach can accurately characterize the aerodynamics of these drones.
Okay, thank you. That's interesting how all of that works really well together, and you're able to get great results. I'd like to kind of talk about the progress then. That actually kind of leads me to that. Roberto, what progress have you guys made in your research? And I guess, can you share what is most significant about those results so far?
As I mentioned initially, this is a project that is fairly young. It started a couple of years ago. I come, as I mentioned, from the automotive engineering, mostly working on sprays, multi-phase flows. So I had some basic knowledge of aerodynamics, but I wasn't definitely someone you can call an expert. But at the time, I was involved with this project, and I always like, you know, challenges. I like to get into new topics, new areas. And that's when we hired Ehan, because she brought in that expertise. And we started from scratch. And what we have achieved, which has been very much summarized by Ehan already, is basically we were able to build a capability that we didn't have. Therefore, now we can actually model drones, no matter what their topology is. It can be a fixed wing, it can be a propeller-based. We know our models work fairly well and predict pretty well some of the main parameters like lift and drag coefficients or thrust coefficients for propeller-based drones. So we have confidence that our model are able to replicate what happens in reality pretty closely. It gives us insights into the physics of the drone and how the drone interacts with the environment. And more importantly, when you look at this from a wider perspective, the project that we were involved in is a project that not only developed our CFD capabilities, but tried to put together different teams at Argonne. The other teams involved with this project were one team from our same division, the Energy Systems Division, working on the dynamic system modeling, and another team from the Environmental Science Division at Argonne, and another team from a section that actually does the flying of the drones, trying to basically understand now how they work from a real perspective, right? So we kind of brought together these teams, and especially with the, I will call it the aeronomy team. Aeronomy is the software that the dynamic system models developed. We were able to create an active feedback loop where we can provide the dynamic system models team, the aeronomy team, with maps of aerodynamics coefficient that now can characterize the drone across all the operating conditions of interest. Therefore, we're talking about the speeds at which the drone is flying. We're talking about the angles of attack. So basically how the drone is oriented with respect to the incoming flow. All of these allows us to be more accurate in the predictions that the dynamic system model can do. So CFD not only plays a role into making us understand better the physics, but also in creating a powerful tool that can allow the final user to generate understanding of how long a mission might take, or if the specific drone with those specific capabilities can carry out the mission, how much energy is going to use, is the power of the motor enough to keep the drone flying with a certain payload. So all of these questions, we can now answer them, but we couldn't 2 years ago. So I definitely like to see that as our probably initial progress. There's still more to do. There's still more we can achieve. But it's definitely some good progress we've made in the last couple of years.
That's really amazing that, you know, you take one concept and you build a collaboration between departments to really elevate those results, or take it a step further, or dig in a little bit deeper so that you can really get significant results or make significant progress. So I'm really glad to know that you guys are collaborating over there between departments, because you're right. You need to, the people that are actually putting those things in the air, they should have some say and some input on as you guys actually do the research and do the details and design work. So let's talk about the challenges, because there's always challenges in any project and any research field that you're in. What have you guys run across in your CFD research for drone design?
That is a good question, Tiffany. So honestly, to get a reliable and accurate aerodynamic predictions for drones is already a challenging task. For this kind of problem, we are dealing with turbulence flows. Think about air flow past a wing. When the flow on the wing surface transition from laminar to turbulence, those eddies and wakes make the flow become difficult to predict. So in order to have an accurate prediction, we need enough resolution in the simulations to capture those complex phenomena through time. For example, in quadcopter simulations, we need to capture the wake structure of the rotating propellers. Those simulations are all large-scale simulations that require high-performance computers to do the calculations. My simulation for the fixed-wing UAV and the quadcopter simulations all take days or weeks to finish each of them. But even though they are very time-consuming, I have to say it is worth doing so, that to help the improving the UAV performance and in the design process.
Okay. Roberto, is there anything that you'd like to add?
Yeah, Absolutely. One thing that we are also trying to look more into and trying to make sure we can address in the near future is how sometimes we can speed up those simulations. Because maybe an industry, even if they don't have the capabilities to run CFD, because they don't have access to supercomputer or even big clusters like we do at Argonne, and we're lucky from that perspective, right? Working in a national lab is amazing when it comes to resources. But if you think about sometimes saying that a simulation will take days, might be scary, or someone might say, okay, maybe we don't have that much time to invest. So there's definitely a lot of research that we are putting into not only improving the setup of the models to make sure that we can capture the right physics with cheaper, less expensive models in terms of computational resources, but we also work closely with our collaborators from the software side, trying to improve these models, making sure that in the next release, in the next version, that code will be faster in addressing these problems so that it can become more appealing to industry and therefore become more of a day-to-day type of tool that the industry can use.
Okay, thank you for that. So it sounds like you guys are really, you've recognized the challenges and there are steps being taken to actually address and alleviate any concerns or issues that you may have. And I guess that leads me to, my second to last question. You hear a lot about, commercial labs, and they really talk a lot about what they're doing, or commercial research centers. I'd like to know, and I'm sure our audience would like to know as well, how does working at Argonne help facilitate your research? And I'll start with Ihan.
To me, as a postdoc, I am grateful to have this opportunity to meet a lot of great scientists at Argonne. And it is very nice to learn or exchange ideas from different researchers from different fields. And because of that, I get to broaden my research area by working on different projects that collaborate with another division that deals with heat transfer problems, which is very different from aerodynamics. It's like stepping out of my comfort zone. And they are all very nice experience, and I really enjoy it.
Good to hear. Roberto?
Yeah, I mean, Argonne is a fantastic place to be at because there's so many different interactions, like Ihan mentioned, with all the divisions at Argonne that do and work on different things than what we usually do on a day-to-day basis. What's even more important from my perspective, and I start to finally see this after, 5 years of being a postdoc and now a staff scientist, is the opportunity of using tools that are not available to the general public in general. And I'm talking about resources that not only apply to the drones capabilities, to the drone field, but in general to any field that might use them. And right now, on top of my head, I can remember some of the capabilities that we really enjoy using at Argonne that are definitely something that distinguishes us from a general type of research lab is some facilities that we call them, and we call them user facilities, such as the Advanced Photon Source, for example, or the Center for Nanoscale Materials, or the Advanced Leadership Computing Facility. All of these facilities come into play because not only they give us the opportunity to use specific tools that are not really available to everyone, but it also makes them available to universities, to industry that are willing to share their research with the general public once it's done. To give you an example, we have the Advanced Photon Source, as I mentioned. That is a very high energy X-ray source, and I hope the X-ray scientists will forgive my very simple explanation of how this works. But these X-ray sources allow us to look into the materials in a non-destructive way. We use that a lot in our injection system analysis, for example, looking into injector devices for automotive applications. We are able to look inside the material and comment really where the flow is happening in a very small volume, such as it is the one of an injector for a car. And that has unveiled very particular physics that were not known to the public before. The advanced leadership computing facilities, for example, the use of supercomputers, where Argonne is a leader globally, allows us to tackle problems that are really not the simple problems or even the more complex problems that industry usually solves on a regular basis. So all of this makes us very, very lucky in our research because we can focus on the questions and how to address them because we know that the tools are available and they keep improving every day. So it's definitely a privileged position, in my opinion. I know that, I acknowledge that, and I'm just happy I am where I am.
Great, great. It sounds like you guys are really making the most out of your opportunity there at Argonne. And it shows in the information that you've provided with us today, for us today, in regards to drone design. Now, my most complex question of the interview, I wanted you guys to take a deep breath and just prepare for it. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to need you to make a selection and also give me the why behind your answer. As you know, I end most of these interviews with something fun. And so my question for you both today, and I'm going to allow Ihan to answer first, is here's the question. You have a choice between two superpowers. Okay, now I know we've talked about supercomputing, but this is something else. So two superpowers. The first option, being invisible or being able to fly. Okay? So first option, being invisible. Second option, being able to fly. Which would you choose and why? Ihan, you're up.
That's a tough question. if I have to choose, I'll choose fly. Because during this pandemic, I'll be able to fly back to Taiwan safely, efficiently, and then come back.
Okay, that's a great answer. I won't say what I would choose yet. But Roberto, what's your answer?
You know, this is a tough question, much tougher than the questions you've asked so far. assuming that Ihan's choice doesn't mean that the superpower is taken, I think I would choose the same. I love traveling. And I'm really feeling that this whole lockdown situation. And, you know, we've talked about drones and the ability to fly everything everywhere. That might come useful one day as a next step after the drones, right? Being able to fly without having to use any specific propulsion system. So that definitely is my chosen superpower as well.
Yeah, I can test the aerodynamics while I'm flying.
I think that is a great idea. Thank you. Of course, I would choose flying as well. I'm missing traveling just as much as you guys. Additionally, at this point, I'm kind of running out of stuff to do. So I would just kind of be just something fun. I'd get up there, maybe 30, 40 minutes, come back down just for fun. So thank you guys both for joining me today. It has been a pleasure speaking to you both. I hope our audience finds all the information provided by my guests today very informative and insightful. Now I'd like to get to the insider information that I promised I would share with the audience at the beginning of the episode. When we started this podcast, we had no idea if it would gain traction, and the only thing we did know is that we wanted to share CFD insights and how they intersect with life on this podcast platform. So we've had to adapt, we've had to pivot, we've had to take some time to kind of really figure things out. And I'm happy to share that we're just under 1,000 downloads. So as we're recording this episode, there are 6 live episodes, and you guys have listened to this a little under 1,000. So probably by the time this goes live, we will be at 1,000 or have surpassed that number. With that being said, this will be my final episode of season 1. So 2 things in that statement. We will be concluding the Meshup for season one with episode 8. And I'm happy that my final episode was with Roberto and Ehan from Argon. We will have a guest host for episode 8. I'm very excited about it. They've been working and discussing and making plans behind the scenes. So trust me, it'll be very interesting, a really exciting way to conclude season one. So I hope you guys are happy and have been satisfied with everything that you heard thus far. But just so you know, we will be concluding season one with episode 8. So thank you for listening, and I hope that you continue to follow us, and we'll give you more info as we determine what's happening for season 2. Thank you.